Hey everyone, Josh Bird here, and welcome back to the Growth Well podcast. Thanks as always to our sponsors at MarketScale. As a reminder, the Growth Well podcast is a podcast that is about exploring the art of balancing professional growth and personal well-being. Today, I have an amazing guest. I cannot wait for you to meet. She has a podcast of her own. She's a businesswoman. She's an author. She's a mother of three. She's a former D1 athlete. Margaret Winiger is an amazing woman, and I cannot wait for you to meet her. So, Margaret, thank you for joining the show today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Josh. You make such a great hype man.
Woo! I'll hype you up. Take me up.
I appreciate it.
When your book comes out, take me on your book tour.
Yeah. Deal.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you for being here. I know you have a large podcast audience, but for my audience who may not know you, tell us a little bit about who is Margaret and, you know, what do you do?
Yes. Okay. So this has been a fun journey over these last few years to be able to answer this question succinctly. So if I really boil it down at the core, what I do is I work with individuals and organizations to build foundations that serve as springboards for growth. And so the first 11 years of my career, I was a B2B tech sales leader. I specialized in building, scaling, or turning around sales organizations. And I got to work at different sized companies, from public to large private companies, all the way to early stage startups. And I got to work across a variety of industries, in salons and spas, and selling into sales and selling into youth sports organizations. And so it was an amazing experience. And what I learned through that is that there were very consistent patterns and challenges, regardless of what you were selling, who was doing the selling, or, you know, who you were selling to. And so I got really good at it. But in 2020, the pandemic, I think like so many of us, really brought into focus that there was something missing. I had kind of reached the ceiling of sales leadership with regards to my interest and passion around it. And I had started doing my podcast, and I noticed two really distinct things in the first 20 interviews, which was, the first was that almost 3/4 of the women that I interviewed had made a major career pivot before sometime in their career. And that shocked me. If you had told me that coming into launching the podcast, that would be one of the findings, I wouldn't have believed you. And then the second thing was, these women were from different countries. They worked in different industries. They worked in different, vastly different roles. And it was as though they were operating out of the same playbook. And so that kind of set me on somewhat of an obsessive search for answers and understanding how these women went about making decisions to design careers that were fulfilling and that they were finding tremendous success. And so that's really when I shifted more into what I'm doing now, which is talking and sharing that content and findings from the research of these interviews. And then working, I've really found a passion and love for sales again in coaching founders, how to sell. That I find that that's an area that there's a lot of stigmas around sales. A lot of founders, you need to be able to sell because you need revenue to grow your business.
Yeah.
And so I find a lot of joy in really helping people understand they already have the skills and kind of equipping them with the knowledge that they need, the process and kind of frameworks to help them understand how they can do it for their businesses. And then watching the light bulbs kind of click and the confidence grow as they put it into action. So that's me. That's me in a nutshell.
I love it. You and I share a lot of the same passions. That's why I've been looking forward to this conversation. And, you know, we've actually been teaching the same cohort of founders recently. And for our listeners, both of us are advisors at the Atlanta Tech Village. And we put in a lot of time there to help new founders figure out how to grow. And I've recently, as in the past year, just discovered that light bulb moment. I get so charged up because these founders have all different backgrounds. They have all different skill sets. Some are developers. Some of them are very good operationally. But, you know, for me, helping them understand their positioning and put it in a way that it just clicks. That light bulb is like, it's almost like addictive, right? It is so awesome. So you touched on it all throughout your intro, but like one of the reasons I love doing this podcast is hearing people's why. Mm-hmm. And just like the what gets you up in the morning, what keeps you going when things get hard, you know, why do you do what you do?
Yeah, I love this question so much. And it's really great because it kind of forces you to really pause and think for a moment to be able to articulate it. And I have known that there's a couple of things. I know that I have been a coach at heart for my, when I look back, that is a through line in my life, whether that was being a swim coach as a way to make money, but finding just so much joy. And again, giving people knowledge or information and then watching them just elevate with that information. And as a sales leader, I would see that where there's just that light bulb moment where somebody is able to now do something they couldn't do before. And what's been really interesting in these last few, even this last year, is that what's really come into focus for me on the why is that I've been doing a lot of research around the work environment. And something that has been very clear is that the world of work is very broken in the US. And this is a very kind of universal shared experience at this point. And through so many of my conversations, I hear a lot of the same thing. People are, they're wanting more. They're wanting more balance. They're right. There's the reason this podcast even exists, right? We're all craving.
That's right.
We're craving more than just a career to define us. Like we want more balance. We want to be multidimensional. We want to things to look different. We want to build differently. And so what's interesting is that I look at my work as I have had the luxury of hundreds of conversations and learning from extremely successful individuals. Through the research, I can see that there are very likely we've entered a new era of work. When we look at kind of typically how long an era of work is, we look at the rate at which technology is now starting to change again. And some of this friction that we're feeling is very much a kind of a signal from entering this new era, but a lot oftentimes businesses struggling to adapt. And so, if we look historically, there's typically individuals who have surfaced that become faces of the era in the world of business that tell people kind of this is what good looks like. This is what best practices are. And then people follow suit from there. And so getting back to your question, my why is that the content that I create is designed to help individuals understand who they are as a person. It is to tap into knowing, you know, what your strengths are, what your skill set is, and where do you really want to show up? What spaces do you want to be in? And that creates a ripple. And it is a small win. Oh. And when thinking about very large problems, the best way to start is with small wins. And so when one person does that, that ripple, they're role modeling that for others. Their best self is showing up in spaces and impacting others in a positive way. And so you think about each time an individual makes that decision to invest the time to know themselves and then align that with what they're doing, that is going to compound over time. And my hope is that that is a catalyst for helping usher in this new era of work and helping us explore perhaps a more balanced, more human way that we'll move forward in the workplace.
I love that. You know, I often think about what they say on the airplane, you know, if you experience rough air and the masks come down, put your mask on first before you help others. And as a person who loves to serve and gets a lot of joy out of serving, I actually questioned that. And I asked my wife, I was like, no way, I'd help you. I'd help our kids before I put it on myself. And she goes, no, because if you become incapacitated, you can't help anybody. Mm-hmm. And so the taking care of yourself in that moment or in your career or whatever is actually life-giving to others, right? And that's just one scenario, but I think it works in business too, where if you're taking care of yourself and you're operating in areas of strength, we were talking before we hit record about, you know, the things we're discovering that just give us life every day. And if you are leaning into those things that give you life, I believe that it does create that ripple and it's really powerful.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, knowing why you're doing what you're doing, right? I mean, I think that's it. Like, you can choose to do something maybe that is a steady income because you know that it's serving a higher purpose. Like so much of this, right, is like coming back to that question you asked me just now. Like, do you know why you're doing what you're doing? Have you taken time to understand that? And it's an empowered choice at that point rather than more of a reactive, I have to do this. But it's like making decisions, informed decisions, rather than just reacting to what's happening around us. Yeah.
I've never thought of it that way, but I actually think that that's why I love working with entrepreneurs. They're choosing to do something that is maybe countercultural, that's big and scary and audacious. And I love coaching them and supporting them and cheering them on. And I've never actually thought about why I like working with entrepreneurs, but I think you just nailed it. It's that countercultural thing. You know, maybe it's my inner rebel and that I want to help somebody do something that's not normal. You know, my whole life I've been, quote, not normal. And most of the time embraced it, you know, and I love it. I think that for all of us, there have to be certain rituals and routines that kind of keep us grounded and growing healthy. Mm-hmm. And so both mentally and physically and in our businesses. So I'm curious, like, mm-hmm. what rituals and habits, routines do you have that actually lead you into that place of, you know, overflowing where you're creating that ripple effect?
Yeah. This has been a journey. I think one of the nice things about what I used to do for work is that I would keep myself so busy. I didn't have time to really, I didn't know myself. And the last 3 years, I've really shifted more into what I now understand to be more of a creative work style. And that is a process to just even, I think, come to peace with that you don't get to force your way through a creative process. And you don't get to decide when inspiration comes and when the well is dry. And kind of being okay, it's really been grounding and coming to peace with focusing on what is in my span of control and releasing what's not. So I think just one of the biggest things is like a mindset shift around like, I used to be very hard charging. I will make things happen, right? This illusion of control. And I would burn myself out horribly. Mm. And this has been a really interesting journey of now really having to get to know myself, kind of recognizing the signals of like, I am exhausted. No good comes from pushing through this. I'm just going to stop. And now, thankfully, I have experiences where when I have given myself the breathing room to come back to it later, I know that it comes back, right? Like I think the first couple of times it was scary because you don't know what you don't know. On a very, on a more tactical level, like one of the things that I used to do in work a lot, and it's actually one of my favorite kind of pillar pieces of content, I call it the QXR. And it's if you think about it, it's a quarterly X factor review. And the reason I do this is it is very easy for us to kind of always be looking forward, always as a high achiever, always chasing the next milestone. And especially for women, our confidence comes from experience. And so the QXR is a way to, you can do it monthly, quarterly, but look at what did you learn in the last quarter? What did you accomplish in the last quarter? And the reason for the X is that it's intended to be life inclusive. So looking at all six dimensions of my life and really taking inventory of what has happened, what am I really excited about? What did I learn? And then I use that to then say, okay, how do I want to use that information to move forward? And all of that under kind of this umbrella of what is my vision for this year? What is my kind of directional goals and how are the things that I'm doing serving that? And perhaps what are the things that are taking me away from that, that maybe either I change, I get rid of, or I there's a reason why I'm still doing it, even if it doesn't serve this higher purpose. And so I found that's a really great way too, to kind of ground myself in facts and not get so spun up in how things might feel, but really looking at it. Cause if you think about it, it's like, even after the course of a year, you look at yourself like you have recency bias, right? We see ourselves relative to who we were last month. We don't look at ourselves and say we don't see where we were a year ago. And so it's really easy to diminish our growth,
yeah,
diminish how far we've come. So anyway, so that's one of the things I love sharing with people, talking to people about, but also something I've used a lot too, as a way to claim what I've done, to use information to help and move forward with intention. And also, just have, like, kind of, again, right, I think, remember that there was so much that has happened, kind of grounding myself back in facts.
Yeah, it's so true. I talk a lot about, and I am in no way sponsored by Levenger, to be clear, but Levenger makes a 5-year journal where you write 4 lines a day. And each page is like, today is what, April 24th, when we're recording this. And, you know, I'm now in my 2nd year. And so this morning I read what I was thinking and feeling a year ago, and it's been mind blowing. You know, somebody has a quote, you know, that we greatly overestimate what we can do in a year and we greatly overestimate what we can get done in a day and underestimate what we can get done in a year. So I think that looking backwards is so important. I've downloaded your QXR template. I love it. If you don't mind, I think we should link it for the YouTubers and the LinkedIn folks that are watching this. We'll link it below because it's such an important thing to step back and take a look. Now, you mentioned 6 areas of your life. You said across 6 areas. Real quick, what are those 6 areas and how do you look at this?
So depending on, you can use different ones, right? Like, because some of them are, are broken up. This is my personal one because it's, I think, simple. So you have professional, which is for the for those of us that are really high achieving, ambitious, that might feel really obvious. And sometimes we accidentally over focus there. There is personal. So that's your health and your well-being. There's spiritual. So it's not necessarily always religion, but it is kind of something bigger than yourself. There's community. So those are organizations or groups that you might be a part of. There is relational. So this is one that's inclusive of romantic, familial, and friendships. And then you've got financial. So thinking about income. So it's looking at all those different areas. And it's really meant to just remind us again that, like, we are more than one thing. And there's been multiple times I've done this with somebody where they are really down about how their professional year went. But then when we zoom out and we look at their lives, it becomes very clear that there was tremendous growth, but it was in another bucket. And so it's making time to celebrate and acknowledge that. And it was oftentimes a very intentional choice to give energy there and not in the professional, right? So I think it also helps us not put judgment. So often we forget that success is how we define it. It's not upward movement in your career, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this whole podcast and this discussion and your platform are all about how, you know, quote, cultural norms are not actually always healthy, right? And for so long, I put down or would hide parts of me based on the room I was in. You know, if I wanted to be a cool startup guy, maybe I didn't talk about my family, which honestly is the most important thing in my whole world, right? Or, you know, I have a huge passion for music. I have this guitar over my shoulder that's been with me my entire life. And for so long, I would just not be exactly who I am, just parts of it. And I think we do that a lot. And that's one thing I love about, you know, how you talk about being all these things, right? And all 6 of those elements are really important. And you probably can't put, you know, just intense energy into all 6 buckets. You would go crazy. That's, you know, again, that's what GrowthWell is about, right? How do we feel about different parts of our journey? I was with my trainer this morning and we were doing this balance exercise on one of those big sit-up balls, right? And it's really hard. I kept falling over and looking like an idiot, but, you know, we all got to start somewhere. But, you know, I was thinking about, and I think I've said this on the podcast before, but balance is not actually stillness. It's constant readjustment. It's movement and work to keep yourself at center, you know? And I think that's so important. And that's what I love about how you've broken out your QXR is that it's really, it's so holistic in nature. However, you know, we're all human and life is life and it's going to knock you off.
Well, I wanted to say something really quick because you
have something
that is like, oh, I just, one, I love that description and that visual. It's so true, right? And I think it's so easy. There's a bias called the end of history illusion, where we see ourselves kind of like fully baked. we're like, I have arrived. This is who I am. And we can look back and see how much we've changed and evolved. But we think we largely won't change as we go forward. And so I think much to what you're saying, it's like the only constant is that we will change. Like this has been proven. There was an aggregate study of 92 different personal development studies that found that our personalities change over time. And so it isn't this set it and forget it. You don't reach some final destination and you've achieved balance. It is as new things pop up, as your environment changes, as you develop, that balance will look different. And again, I think there's just such beauty in giving ourselves permission to embrace that. And so when we kind of feel that tug, that something's starting to get misaligned, that we recognize that likely is a signal to give life to that, not to kind of fight it, to resist it, because again, that's just natural. It's part of being human and part of growing.
That's right. I find that when we're in it though, a lot of times we don't recognize when we're off balance. Unlike my, metaphor on the exercise ball, I know when I fall off and look like an idiot, but a lot of times we're so driven to success or making whatever is in front of us work, we don't really know when we're off balance. And so I'm curious, do you have things in your life or people in your life that help you say, whoa, Margaret, I think you need to take a step back, and what are those for you?
Yeah. So here's what I have found, that whether I say this or this is something I've noticed when other people say it, a really giveaway to know that you're out of balance, to know something's out of whack, is you hear yourself saying, I should. You use the word should. I need to. I should. Those are usually signals of this pressure, this conflict of things that you are putting pressure on yourself to do, but don't actually want to do. So if you catch yourself using that word a lot, if you're like, oh, I need to go do this thing, I should go do that, I should care more about that, right? Like, there's some sort of conflict that's happening there. So I'll give everyone that of like, just listen. And I would argue we all know. Some of us are just more adept than others at just shoving it down. And so a lot of times it may just be that we are fatigued a lot. We're tired, but we just keep going. And for me, I would say I'm a huge fan of coaches. I have an amazing coach that I have worked with. Her name's Amy Kay. And she has just given me so many gifts and really helping me understand what it is that I want and kind of how to give life to that voice and, kind of wrangling those inner critics. So I'm a big fan of, I think coaches, especially when you're going through a transition or a stage of growth, they are so valuable to have at your side. I'm very grateful because my husband is also my best friend. And I have learned in the last several years, it took me a really long time. I'm embarrassed to admit this, but to trust him. A lot of times kind of signal early, something's wrong. He would pick up on cues that I would rationalize away. And I really, enough times of him being right, I finally have started. So normally if something catches his eye, he has pause around either a decision or he has concern. I've really started trusting and tuning into that because he's a really valuable resource. So for me, I mean, I think that's the big thing. And then I've just really, I mean, I think that's some of what life experience gives us, right? It's like we kind of learn over time that when we do certain things, we get feedback on how it went, and then we can adjust our behaviors accordingly going forward, and we can recognize those situations later, right? Like Daniel Pink wrote his book on the power of regret. And that was one of the things that regret teaches us, is that we can recognize things better the next time, and we can make better decisions because we remember a choice we made before that we regretted, and that we don't want to repeat those things again. So, I think those are things for me. And then kind of the things that I listen for a lot of times when I'm talking with people is usually should is a dead giveaway.
I should think more about that in my own life. I really should. That's really valuable advice. And so, by the way, I hope your husband's listening and hears how much he's right. Sometimes we as husbands
don't always hear that.
But that's an aside. When life does throw you curveballs, when you get that call inevitably from the school that you need to come pick up one of your three kids, and you're right in the middle of flow and it just throws you off. Mm-hmm. What is your kind of go-to thing to bring yourself back in balance?
Yeah. Oof. This is a hard one. It's still, again, I think I'm a very much work in progress here of figuring this out, and so I think there's a couple things. There's a forced perspective, which is, reminding myself, like, at the end of the day, this is not that important, right? Like the world is not going to stop turning because you can't finish what you're working on. I've also realized, like, people, when you just communicate with them, are very understanding and supportive if you have to adjust timelines or expectations. And I've actually started just building in better margin for myself so that I don't constantly put myself under immense pressure to get things done, to just build in for things like that, unexpected, right? Because that's a constant. Like, there are things that pop up. This isn't really what you're asking, but I have been fired 3 times. And so I think kind of, getting really good at understanding that things are not in your control, and that you can do a really great job and you can do all the right things and you can still not have control over the outcomes. And that's something that I think, because of that experience in sales leadership, and now this research that I've done of, like, really understanding that has nothing to do with me. And then now as a mother, that, like, a lot of times my time is not my own. I'm very intentional.
Tell me about it.
Right. Like, I'm very much of, like, focusing on what I can control. So, like, to the core of this question, right, it's like, what is in the span of my control is, how I respond, trying to show up with grace to myself as much as possible. Finding gray, right? Like, I am a person who historically operates in a very binary way. I used to be a very all or nothing. And so I've really tried to play around with what gray might look like of, do I put the kid in front of the TV so I can take a quick 30-minute call? Is that really not going to be a big deal? Is it something that, like, what I had envisioned is really grand, but I could probably do about 50% of that effort and it's still great, right? So I think there's a lot of that too, of assessing what's actually important, what things need to be really well done, what things are less critical, what things are okay to miss, which things, you kind of hold space for. And so I think it's getting really clear on what really matters. I'm still figuring it out. I wish I had better answers for everyone. Work in progress on that one.
I think the ability to say I'm a work in progress, is actually so healthy, right? Because I think about, for me, I prioritize heavily, and I am so guilty of thinking I can get twice as much done in a day than I actually can if I'm really putting my full self into those tasks that I have to do, that's who I am. I cannot phone something in. I just don't know how. We were talking about that before we hit record, how like when I decided to do a podcast, I was all in. I was like, we're going to do this right. I get that, but I think it's that showing up with grace for yourself. Mm-hmm. I do, 3 check-ins per day, actually, where I start my day and I prioritize everything that I need to get done that day and time block for all of them. And that's my first realization that I've planned too much. And then at lunch, I look at how I'm doing and realize I've still squeezed too much in, and I take another couple of things off. And then by the end of the day, I have a reflection time, and there's usually a thing or two I didn't get to, but I look not at what I didn't do, but what I did do, and have that realization of like, wow, I still did a lot to support my personal mission, support my clients, support those that I coach. And I was able to do that so I can go to bed, or I can go have dinner with my family. Like, dinner with my family is sacred. Mm-hmm. I very, very rarely miss dinner with my family. But it's better when I can shut it down mentally as well. When I join them at the dinner table and I'm not, you know, trying to solve a problem in the back of my head while I'm eating spaghetti with kids, I really want to be investing and asking about their day, and, you know, what's important to them. So, you know, well, this, we could keep this conversation going forever, but I really want to point others towards, you know, advice that you have besides listening to your podcast and buying your book when it comes out, because it's just chock full of amazing advice. And I love how supported it is with research, not just your experience, but you're a very good researcher. And, but what advice would you give others who are realizing that they really need to seek that balance between their professional growth and their professional life and their own personal well-being?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing is I'm very excited if that is something that's kind of forefront of mind. So much of that is such a huge step, is just giving life to that voice that's saying, you know, and a lot of times, like I think about how it would show up in my conversations with women. A lot of times it was kind of calling them to more, right? It's like, there's gotta be more, or I want more. And so I think giving life to that voice is so unbelievably powerful. And remembering that exploring what it's telling you doesn't mean that there's any commitment, right? So it's like, sometimes just giving that life voice and just exploring and like letting things play out a little bit. So for example, a lot of times the first thing where people will start is getting grounded in what's important to you, right? So like, what are your personal values? What dimension of life is most important right now? What skills, what things give you energy? What things take your energy? And so really kind of taking the time to do that inventory, you know, that is all kind of internal self-work, that you don't have to actually, you know, publicly do anything outward, make any major decisions, but that's usually a really great step to take that helps you start to think about, you know, what do I want to do with this information? How might I make some adjustments in the way that I'm doing things? Maybe again, right? What things do I, that they just don't serve me anymore, right? It's not, those are places that maybe don't make sense for me to show up anymore because they don't give me energy. Or what are the type of work that I, you know, maybe that doesn't give me energy. So I think that would be my suggestion, is like, great job. Keep giving life to that voice. Take time to do the internal work to understand who you are, and what's important to you now. And then armed with that information, then you can start thinking about what, you know, kind of what does that look like, and what maybe changes do you want to make in your life to really honor the things that you now understand to be true about yourself.
I love that advice. And one thing I would add to it that I've heard you say, so I'm giving you credit here, but choosing to go down a different path is not failure. You know, I think so often people want to switch careers. You talk a lot about that, you know, or they want to do something different or explore something different. And they go from the personal work to, okay, I'm going to step out in faith and actually do this. And there's a little fear, at least I've experienced it, of like, oh, well, if I want to go out on my own and start coaching and helping other entrepreneurs, that just means I couldn't hack it as, you know, an internal head of marketing, which couldn't be farther from the truth. I like that role, but as I've grown, I want to spend more time creating more ripples, to use your metaphor. And so a tack or a switch of direction is not failure for where you were before, it's growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is. And I think that's, it's really important. I think so many of the things that can happen in a workplace are so much of like the unresolved things that we are not dealing with as a person that just come out in a work environment. And so, yeah, again, it's like giving yourself permission to change and to change your mind about what you want. And that's much like balance, it's going to look different, and allowing yourself to be fluid. And I really encourage people to set directional goals so that these are things that you have a kind of a North Star that you're moving towards, but they're not so rigid and specific that they don't allow for kind of a flow that you're going to go through. Yeah. And like, as you gather new information, you can update what you understand, and you may want to make changes and adjustments. So yeah, I think that's so great. And again, right, remembering that there's not a black and white. There are these situations where you can explore things while also continuing to do what you're doing. So many women that I interviewed they started businesses, right? They started building them on the side. They started exploring that. They just made space for that in their life. And then there came a fork in the road where then they did need to make a commitment. They did kind of have to pick a path. Right. They'd created enough momentum that they felt confident in making that risk, as opposed to kind of forcing a hard pivot out of nowhere and putting themselves in a bit of a pickle.
Yeah. We've all been in both places. Right. I prefer the yes and versus the hard stop and, oh shoot, what do I do next? And having to figure it out. Sometimes that does spawn genius, but it's not a stressful situation I would wish on anybody. Yeah. So, you know, what's next for you? You know, what's next on the horizon? You know, currently I shared with you, these are coming out anywhere from 30 to 60 days after we record them. So, you know, what's next for you? What can people, you know, kind of look out for in the world of Margaret?
Yeah. So the big thing that a lot of my time and energy is going towards, you mentioned the book. So I am in the process right now of sending out proposals. The book's about 80% written, but it's called Broken, and it's creating career momentum and a flawed and broken system. And the idea behind it is I'm very passionate about talking about this knowledge that I've learned over these last 3 years, both from the research and these 100 plus interviews with successful women, but then also the research to understand kind of how we got to where we are today from a work environment, and kind of how, you know, kind of signals that change is imminent and that is very favorable, and how we can, we're in transition, which means we're also able to write the future as opposed to it already being decided for us. And so that's a lot of where in the next few months, a lot of my time and energy is going towards is really sharing out content around that, talking about it. And then just personally, you know, I'm going to be very focused on, as somebody who has worked very hard to become a writer, I'm a verbal communicator. This is much more fun for me than sitting at my desk and writing. That's a lot of where my energy and time is going, is going to be finishing that out and getting it to a place where I can give it to people so that they don't have to go do the lift of gathering all the information, synthesizing it, and understanding it. It's ready for them when they want to read it.
Yeah. I cannot wait for that book. It's going to be awesome. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing your thoughts and ideas with us in the audience. This has been awesome. I love talking to you always. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for creating a podcast that allows space to have these conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a wrap, everyone. Thank you for spending your time with us, thinking and pursuing Growth Well. Again, thanks to our sponsors, MarketScale. They are the best B2B media company out there. You can check out their link. For more information on Margaret, we'll have her links in the YouTube comments. And you know what to do. Subscribe, like, share. Help us get this Growth Well message out. And until next time, I hope you go out there and pursue growth well.